Hello and welcome to another episode of the Indie Founder Podcast, episode 361. This is the podcast about what's really like to bootstrap a company. And in today's episode, I want to talk about the difference between setting a price for B2C and setting a price for B2B and how to combine both. PodSqueeze is a tool that started serving the B2C and B2B clients, but now we have slowly shifting towards the B2B and big enterprise and corporations. But it's really hard to have both clients because the pricing is normally very different. B2C clients are a bit more price sensitive than B2B. So we are going to cover these topics, a few ideas that I've taken from other SaaS, how they are doing, and as well, I'll give you some examples of what we are trying to do here at PodSqueeze. Before we start, as you know, we normally release these episodes on Monday. This time was not possible, but I am sorry for the delay, but at least it's here this week. If you want to support this podcast, make sure to share it with your friends and please give it a review. If you're listening on Spotify, if you're listening, very simple. Just scroll up, click on the stars, and you can do it as you're listening to this because this is only audio podcast. So you are not using your eyes and your fingers, so you can easily do that. And that'll be amazing. If you want to chat with me, I'm always excited to talk about entrepreneurship and talk with other indie hackers. So make sure to do that through my Twitter account, WBETiago, and as well my LinkedIn account, both of which I will be sharing in the show notes. Now, let's get started. So when we first started PodSqueeze, we started as B2C company. To be honest, I didn't even consider B2B. We just launched and hoped for the best. We hoped to get clients and we started having the first clients and they were B2C. Now, looking back, it makes sense because the marketing sources we're using were more targeting B2C. This was email, social media, Reddit, and SEO. A B2B type of marketing normally is more related to direct sales, cold messages, calls, or going to conferences. But we're not doing that. So, logically, we set our prices for B2C. B2C are normally more price sensitive. We are talking about hobbyists, people that are doing, in our case, podcasting as a hobby. They have one podcast and they cannot spend a lot of money. So you need to trade carefully. Our first pricing was around $15 and we have reduced it. Now it's at $8. That's our first tier. And then our second tier, our pro accounts, is already a big leap, goes to the $40. Then the next one goes to, I believe, $60. These are already high numbers. We have been increasing our pricing, but still, it's quite far from what we are used to here in terms of B2B pricing. We normally hear about $1,000 per month, $2,000, $3,000 per month, these tickets of maybe $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a year. So it's still a big leap from these B2C prices and the B2B prices. So when we first started this year, we decided to try this new approach, to try going for B2B. And the reason why we did that was because we kind of reached a plateau in our MRR. Normally, when you reach a plateau, which basically means that you are neither growing or degrowing, or reducing your MRR, you just stay like stagnant. When this happens, normally it is because you have reached a plateau in your distribution channel. You either have consumed and you are exploring to the maximum that distribution channel, or you simply cannot explore more. Our main distribution channel is SEO. And SEO depends a lot on the website authority and your capability of getting your keywords in the first positions. And we have reached the point where we have explored all the keywords and it's really hard to grow our authority. So we kind of reached this plateau in our SEO, which means as well that our growth has been stagnant. So we decided to move to another marketing source, to another distribution channel. And we decided to try B2B. We decided to try this because everyone says that you can make a lot of money with B2B. And we were both curious and excited with the possibility of starting to close deals of $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a month. Now, our first meetings were successful. So we did our demos and people were excited about, but they always asked one question, normally towards the end of our conversation. What about the pricing? I would be both excited and terrified. Excited because this kind of means that they are interested in pursuing at least a conversation, and terrified because I knew that my prices, the prices I had in my page, were made for B2C. So I would open my pricing page and show them and say, hey, here how it works. It works based on minutes and it works based on clips. So the more minutes you need, the more clips you need, the price will increase. Then I would ask how many podcasts they had and how many minutes they expect to be using every month. And I would, from the pricing I had, from the pro pricing of $49 or the agency light, I would kind of proportionally increase the price. But this would always take us to prices of maximum $200 a month, which is still very far from those ideal prices of $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 per month. So this started this new challenge. How can we have prices for both B2C and B2B? So I want to share a few examples of companies that are doing this and how they are doing and if they are succeeding or not. One option comes from the company that is called Get Vocals. They're actually sharing the same co-working space as us. And I was asking the founder, and he told me one thing that really surprised me. They said that they have no B2C tier. They don't even show their prices in their website. So basically, Get Vocals is a SaaS that sells agents, AI agents, that basically do sales, customer support, everything you need. But it's still a SaaS. They could still sell for B2C, but they decide not to. So when they are doing their demo and someone asks for the pricing, what they do first is they kind of enumerate all the amazing features they offer. We offer unlimited agents and all the support you need and all the voice, I don't know what other features they have. And then they see the client, the potential client, getting excited and more excited. And they ask, oh, amazing. And then they say, and the price is $10,000 a month. Whoa. They immediately see the client kicking back. That's expensive, they say. And this is where the negotiation starts. So they adapt their price based on the type of client, the size of the client they are talking to. So if they are talking with a big corporation, they start to understand why they think the price is too expensive. Why do you think is that expensive? Do you think you're not be using it as much? Do you think it's not valuable? And based on this, they can say, they kind of guide the conversation. So let's say that they're saying that perhaps it's too expensive and they don't have the budget for it. Then their reaction is, no problem. What we can do is, you probably don't need all these features I just announced. We can make another plan with just the basic features. And instead of 10,000, we do it for 2,000. And suddenly, by comparison, 2,000 seems very affordable, very cheap. So this is basically their structure, the way they are able to sell their plans. Now, not having any prices in their pages allows them to be flexible and bill different clients with different prices. This is quite genius. I think this probably works really well. And like this, you can also be fair. Obviously, if you're selling this tool for a big corporation, they will take much more value than a small corporation. So they should pay more, not the same. Now, the thing about this is that you have no B2C, right? So you have to forget about this whole tier of potential clients. But for them, it's fine because they are closing tickets of $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a month. Now, there's other SaaS that are able to have both the B2C and the B2B. And I have a few examples. I recently had a conversation with a SaaS called Churnkey. Churnkey offers as a really nice value proposition. They help you reduce your churn. And for a SaaS founder, and if you are a SaaS founder, you probably know that this is really helpful, especially if you are working with AI. This is something that really caught our eye because we really need to reduce our churn. So we had this conversation with them, and they noticed that the value of our churn is low. Not that the percentage is low, but I guess our MRR is not enough, that our churn is big enough that it will make sense. So they told me that their pricing increases based on how much money they can save us. So the plan still offers all the features, but I will pay more if they are able to save me more. And saving more means that my churn is higher. So let's say that I have 10% churn, right? And this 10% churn is equals to $1,000 a month. For them, that's quite low because they say that they can save us, let's say, 20%. So from $1,000, they can save us $200. And they charge us $300 per month. So it's not worth it for us. And they even said, okay, that churn is a bit low. But if you have $3,000, $4,000, then it makes more sense. But let's say that you have $50,000 per month in churn and they are saving us 20%, or you have $100,000 to make the calculations easier, then they are saving you $20,000. It makes no sense that you only pay them $300. So based on this, based on the money that they are able to save us, they will ask for more money from us. And I like this model. It's still fair because it adapts to the value that they are delivering. What I find interesting is that if I have $1,000 churn and I pay $300, I still have the same exact features as if I had $100,000 churn and paid $20,000. And there's nothing much I can say because they're still saving me money. So if I say, hey, that's unfair, I want to pay $300, they will say, but we cannot sell this to you. And then I'll be losing because I could be saving $20,000 per month, right? So I really like this strategy, and the business model allows them to do this. Another example that I also have seen that I found interesting is from SendGrid. SendGrid allows you to send emails through an API. We use it on PodSqueeze, and their plans, increase or decrease based on the number of emails you want to send. There are also other little features that vary from plan to plan, but normally these features are quite low. So what I notice is that when you go to their website, you have a sliding bar, and then you can select how many emails you want to send per month. And based on the number of emails you're selecting, it shows you one plan and disables the other plans. So let's say you have, I believe they have Essentials, Pro, and Enterprise. So if by sliding, I just say that I want to send, let's say, up to 5,000 emails per month, they select the Essential price. And then if I want 10,000, they have the Essential Plus, which gives me 10,000, but for a bit cheaper. So cheaper per email. That's amazing. So if I get 10,000 emails, I pay less per email than if I had 5,000 emails. But if now I move to 50,000 emails, it already shows me the Pro plan. So it disables the Essential plan. And the Pro plan is already more expensive per email than the Essential plan. But I cannot even select the Essential plan anymore. So by doing that, just with the UI, they're able to conduct me and guide me to the right plan where I eventually pay more. Now, the features that they deliver in each plan are like analytics. If you go to the enterprise, you get the support, the onboarding, all of these features, which are important. But in reality, what I really want are the emails, not the other things. Now, I think it makes sense for bigger enterprises to ask for more because, first of all, they require more attention. They need onboarding. They need to be 100% reliable. If they need to reach out to you, you need to be available. So, of course, there's more work from your side, more work from your team. So it makes sense that it's more expensive. But sometimes it can be hard to negotiate. So in our example, going back to PodSqueeze, we used to have the $2,000 minutes plan that was, I believe, $180. And I was negotiating with a customer that wanted 3,000 minutes. And I thought, okay, this is already enterprise. So instead of raising the prices accordingly to the prices in the $2,000, 2,000 minutes, I increased quite a bit more, like double the price. And they got upset. They asked me, hey, Tiago, why is this so much more expensive than the pricing you have on your pricing page? And eventually, I lost this client. So I was really frustrated. I'm still very frustrated about this. We are still figuring out what is the best approach for us. So at the moment, what I decided to do is I removed the $2,000, the 2,000 minutes plan. I removed it from our pricing page. And we only have the beginner, pro, and agency light. So these are, we only basically show the prices that go towards the SMBs and B2C, B2Small, B companies. Any other company that needs 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 minutes, they will need to negotiate with me. And it's hard for them to calculate based on the prices we have here because the price we have on our page are for much, much less minutes. Now, one thing that we are considering testing is a bit the approach, a mixed approach, but the approach of the first company I told you about, GetVocals. We want to have the beginner, the pro, and the agency light. And then on the enterprise, we're going to have the unlimited plan. What does this mean? This means that the enterprise client does not need to think about how many minutes they need, how many clips they need. They will have unlimited. But the price will be, let's say, $500 a month or $600 a month. It's a big price. And we give this to them. And then we can negotiate. If they say, but that's too much. We actually don't need that many minutes. How many minutes do you think you need? Maybe 1,000. Okay. So since you don't need so many minutes, maybe we can do here a negotiation. We can reduce a bit the price just for you, but you still have unlimited. Then we can reevaluate in the future based on your usage. So we can have this flexibility and adapt based on the type of client. This makes sense for us. There is only one problem, which is we are already giving all of the cards. We are already giving them all the minutes, all the clips. for $500, which means that it's hard for us to increase the prices in the future. Now, the reason why we are not too bothered with this is that we have already landed big clients that produce 40, 50 podcasts per month, and they don't use more than 3,000 minutes. So we already know that, of course, that we might close even more clients in the future. But if we do that, we can always increase the prices of our unlimited plan before talking with them, right? So we can, based on this, but we'll still be making money because we know that it's going to be hard for them to use more than the 3,000, 4,000 limits. So that's kind of what we're going to try. Tomorrow, we are going to Madrid for a conference. And this time I really prepared the whole conference. I have already have a lot of meetings scheduled. And our idea would be probably to already introduce this new pricing style that I just described to you. And hopefully we'll have better results. I'll keep you posted, as always, in this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned something. I hope you can as well now and then apply the things we learned here in your own SaaS. But if you have any questions, any suggestions, any topics I should talk about, by all means, send me a message at Twitter. My handle is WBTiago, or on LinkedIn. Both links will be in the show notes of this episode. This was another Indie Founder podcast episode. I'll see you next Monday. Cheers.